Welcome, Secretary Shulkin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, Brian. It's great to be with you.
So you had a huge, when you took this job, you knew it was one of the president's top three things that he told the American people he was going to accomplish. And you are making steps to address some of the needs of our veterans, which sadly are growing by the day, as are the numbers of veterans fighting and coming back. How are you addressing it?
Well, Brian, you're right. This is something that's very important to the president. One of the reasons why I felt comfortable taking on this task, because I knew I'd have his support, and he's been there all along for us whenever we've come to him with issues and we need his support. And last year alone, we had 9 new pieces of legislation that were passed with bipartisan support, because this is an issue that all Americans tend to agree upon, that our veterans deserve a lot better, and that's exactly what we're trying to do.
Here is the president yesterday when he was, you guys had a meeting because he expanded the mental health for new veterans, is all part of the Accountability Act. Here is Cut 25.
For many years, they tried to pass veterans accountability and they couldn't do it. They failed. And after almost 40 years, we got it passed. And now, when somebody doesn't do the job over at the VA, we fire that person. When somebody's bad to our great veterans, even sadistically bad, we fire those people, get them out.
But now, I always thought unions were stopping that. Does that change now?
Well, the law changed, and while we still have due process, we're able to move people through the process much quicker and with a more objective type of information to determine whether somebody should continue to work for the VA. Before the accountability law, we had really the deck stacked against us, and it was almost impossible to remove somebody from federal service.
Wow, so that certainly changed. He also went on to talk about why it means so much to him. Cut 26.
The Joint Action Plan will describe concrete actions we must take to ensure every single veteran who needs mental health and suicide prevention services will receive them immediately upon their separation from military service. We will not rest until all of America's great veterans receive the care they have earned through their incredible service and sacrifice to our country.
How are you doing this? More money?
No, we're not asking for more money. This is just the right thing to do. What the president directed us yesterday, the Department of Defense and the Department of Veteran Affairs, is to make sure that every service member who leaves the military is given a mental health benefit. What many people don't know is that only 40% of those leaving the service were offered access to VA mental health services, and now that's going to be 100%. And the risk of suicide is actually the greatest during those first 12 months in transition back into civilian life. So this is directly targeting saving our veterans' lives and really where we can have the most impact, and that's what the president wants us to do.
Secretary Shulkin's with us. Secretary, I always thought that giving people the opportunity to use their local physician instead of finding one of your facilities would be key. What's happening with that?
We are working to give veterans more choice to be able to do that. We want veterans to get the very best care available. In many situations, of course, that care is available in the VA centers, but in some cases, veterans don't live close enough to a VA center, or it's not feasible for them to get there, or in other cases, there's better quality care that may be available in the private sector. And so we're creating a system, and we're working with Congress right now to get the law changed so that veterans have more choice about where they get their care.
So one of the big stories in America when it comes to football is CTE, and they look at long-term effects of concussions to the head, whether it's diagnosed or undiagnosed, whether it's hitting that happens in 8th grade or when you're a 28-year-old playing at the highest level. 60 Minutes looked at CTE, but they took a different tact. They talked about how it's showing up with veterans. Here's a clip, Cut 27.
Of the 102 veterans' brains Dr. McKees examined, 66 had CTE.
I can understand a football player who keeps, you know, hitting his head and having impact and concussions, but how is it that a combat veteran who maybe just experienced a blast has the same type of injury?
This blast injury causes a tremendous sort of ricochet or a whiplash injury to the brain inside the skull, and that's what gives rise to the same changes that we see in football players as in military veterans.
Was that a helpful report? Did you know that already? And does that have how if and if you digest it and agree with it, how would you change things?
These are the VA researchers that are coming out with this research. We have in the VA the largest brain bank in the world of these brains of veterans and football players. So we've actually are the ones who reported on this chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And the same thing that's happening to football players is happening with our current veterans who have experienced blast injuries. And now that we've discovered this and can develop working to develop biomarkers, we're going to be able to work on developing treatments and preventative strategies. So this is an area of research that is essential for VA to continue to lead in.
And you're going to keep moving in that area because a lot of that's undiagnosed, especially if you're in a battle. You don't have concussion protocol. You got to win that battle. You got to you might be at an outpost that doesn't allow you to get back, right?
That's right. That's right. And so what we have to continue to do, and one of the reasons why it's important for us to continue this research, is to always be on top of the new types of injuries that are happening to our veterans.
So, David, you were with the previous administration, correct?
Yes.
What's the main difference between the two? We've been hearing about the chaos, the flat structure, the lack of hiring early. I mean, I've seen you've gotten praise across the line, bipartisan praise. You floated right through the evaluation process. So tell me what you've seen with this White House.
Well, you know, it is an interesting position to be in to have watched both administrations. And I will tell you that I do believe when you're commander in chief that you do end up understanding the sacrifice that our men and women give when they're in uniform, and you end up caring a lot about these people. So I think every president ends up caring a lot. But President Trump, frankly, has made this a priority and has said that he doesn't want to hear a lot of excuses. He wants to see results, and the conversations with him are very direct, and his direction on what he wants to happen for veterans is very clear. And for me, that makes him a very easy boss to work for, because I know exactly what he wants, and I know that he doesn't want to wait a long time to get those results. So this has been a very good White House for me to work for, because it is flat. They let me do my job, but the expectation is that we have to get this system fixed, and there's an impatience to get it done, which is what I share as well. So this is a very functional, good White House for me to be working in.
He is the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, and it's a priority in this country and for this president, and he's doing a fantastic job, if I can use the president's adjective. Secretary, thanks so much for joining us. Secretary David Shulkin.
Thank you, Brian.